state which will live in infamy.
Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of the moment.
You okay over there, bud?
Yeah, I'm all right, man.
You sound a little stuffy today. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I just got a little sinus thing going down, a little blocked up there. But
yeah.
I'm all right, I've been tested, man. I'm negative. It's cool.
Did you get tested today?
Not today.
How do I know you don't have the Rona?
It's not the Rona. It's a very naughty head cold.
Oh, man, I could listen to your Terry Jones impression for a whole day. Just you doing
spam,
Terry Jones.
Spam, 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 spam,
spam, spam, spam, spam, spam, spam, spam,
spam, spam. We could do this all night.
We could do this all night. Yes. And people have already stopped listening to us. They're like, yeah, fuck this. We're listening
and
to another.
Monty Python's funny. So I just got to listen to the real thing. That's all right. We have other stuff to talk about.
We do have, and there, oh my God, Brandon, there is a little bit of breaking news. Dun, 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 dun.
Ooh, breaking news, huh? Literally, we found this out like 10 minutes before we started recording this. So
absolutely. I was reading the news while I was driving my car over here and swerving through traffic, and I'm like, holy shit, we have some breaking news from our beloved Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr. Mr. Ziegler, what did he discover today?
He finds no evidence of fraud to alter election outcome.
Whoa! None?
None. Zero. Mr. Trump's puppet himself as a lawyer besides Giuliani. Can you even count Giuliani as a lawyer anymore? I mean, technically he is.
There's a lot of slimy fucking lawyers, so yes, he is. He's more a lawyer now than he's ever been, you know? It wasn't when the hair dye started running down, I'm like, yeah.
It's like, you know, Vikings go to Valhalla, he goes to fucking Lorehalla. He's going to eat amongst the scumbags and feast.
So what I didn't realize is Bill Barr, he actually hasn't spoken like in over a week to the press. He's been barred by the administration. Barred. probably because he was going to say this exact same thing.
Right.
As lawsuits were still going on. They might still be going on. I don't know.
I'm going to have to cheat a little bit, Dave.
Yeah.
This was my actually, what did Trump do right this week?
Ooh.
This was it.
This was it right here?
Yeah. He didn't make Barr speak out against it. That was
so I ruined your what did Trump do right this
he
week.
He fucked it up.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Completely.
So I'm going to save my what did Trump do right this week because it's actually a real fucking thing he did right.
Oh.
It might be the most right thing he's done in his administration. And
Yeah. We'll see what it is.
So usually, like, you know, when we've done this in the past, and we've been bad the last few weeks, like, not following up on this, just because if you haven't figured out by now, we rant a lot.
And it's hard. It's hard to find out what he did.
It's really hard. And usually it's hard simply due to the fact that everything he does is so fucked up and against what I think and what I believe. And you're just too overconsumed with the information that Trump gives us all the time. But I had a different problem. He's done two things. Golf and claim election fraud. Like two fucking things. That's it. So it's like I can't pick one of those to be a good thing, even though I'm not against golf.
I'm not against golf, but when you have to go to the G20 meeting, it tends to be kind of important that you don't do that.
Right.
Didn't he say that he'd work harder than any other president? He'd badmouth Obama for golfing too much?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He golfs all the time. He said he also he's done more for black people than any president in the history of the United States. So, yeah.
Oh, well, he's done a lot more for Kanye than any other black person has.
Right. He's done more for one insane black man.
There's more one person. Black man? Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck. I thought he was the one. Yeah. He was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, we liked him. He wore my hat.
Oh, man. And That's like breaking news, but like we can like, that's old news because we all know it's bullshit and it's going to lead to the same outcome. However,
there's more breaking news.
You've got more breaking news to share with us. And this might, depending on where the story leads us, might be a good story for next week. Brief us.
Yeah, I think it'll be a much better story for next week because we'll actually have time to look into it. But I want to give you the timestamp.
Hold on, we look into things.
Briefly, you know, okay. we scan.
We scan the headlines.
We highlight stuff.
We're like a shitty newspaper that you can listen to.
Still better than Fox.
Oh, yeah.
At least we don't try to lie to you.
Right.
If we do lie to you, it's by accident.
We're wrong a lot, but we're not trying to be wrong.
Right. We'll say we're wrong. We'll go back and be like, yeah, that wasn't true. But the timestamp on this is a CNN article. It was 6:36 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. Now, as we're recording right now, it is 7:08 December 1st, 2020. So it just happened. But the story is the Justice Department is investigating potential presidential pardon bribery scheme.
Barbary piracy.
He's probably doing one of those, too. Yeah, he's seen his haircut.
And that's the breaking news.
It seems like that the president's taking money to bribe people. He's being bribed to let them off with the pardon.
Right.
Probably including himself. And, you know, this kind of actually ties into what he's doing right now when he's trying to raise the money to fight the election fraud.
Mm-hmm.
None of that money is going to anywhere but him.
Absolutely. It's like you have to like hit like $8,000 worth of donations just for anything to go towards election fraud lawsuits.
Yeah. Kind of like what Steve Bannon did with he was taking donations to build the wall, but he just bought a yacht instead. That's where he was arrested, was on a yacht, but it wasn't his. It was somebody else's yacht, but that's where he was arrested for just taking money from saying he's going to build the wall.
For those of you that are listening to this as your first piece of information, since you woke up from a coma about 5 years ago, like there's people that like are in comas for years and they wake up.
Oh, welcome.
This is real. This actually is happening.
Yeah. We're not, this isn't sensationalism. Yeah.
Donald Trump was president for 4 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
4 years.
Man.
And he thinks the election that just happened was rigged and that it was robbed from him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to talk about that also real quick.
Yeah.
So you have the biggest election fraud ever to hit the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perpetrated by the Do Nothing Democrats.
Right.
I thought Sleepy Joe was, you know, his mental capacities weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it did happen, then it happened on his fucking watch.
Yes.
So if he's supposed to be so good for his country, then how is he letting this fraud run rampant? Then obviously he's not a good president.
Right.
So pick your poison of the three.
Yep.
Either the do-nothing Democrats who are so incompetent they can't actually get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently pulled off one of the major frauds ever to happen.
Right.
We had the Sleepy Joe lead it all. Or you're too crappy at your job that it happened under your job.
And if you think the Democrats are capable of pulling shit off, like in general... Yeah, that's the biggest conspiracy of them all. Right. Like, that's a big thing. And it just proves again, oh, thank God he wasn't, like, you know, the executive branch is in charge of frickin' national elections. Thank God we have state elections because the states did their job.
They did.
Yes.
They did. And National Security Advisor Krebs, who was just fired by tweet, said, no, everything, the CISA program was what she led, everything went great.
Yeah. I think what's happening, I forget who wrote the book a few years ago, but it's called Everything Trump Touches Dies.
Yeah.
And people who work for Trump or in his business or have been his attorneys or work with him in the administration, when they leave, they don't really go anywhere and improve themselves in their career. Like, being associated with Trump is like a death sentence for your career. Whereas in any other administration, if you work for the president, if you work in the White House, your resume is dipped in gold. Even if you sucked at your job and got fired,
yeah,
you like worked in the fucking White House.
Yeah.
And this has the opposite effect.
Yeah. And Krebs said that 95% of ballots in 2020 had a paper receipt. In 2016, 85% had a paper receipt. So, I mean, it was, they did better.
Right.
But apparently it's
the And after the problems ever. Of 2016, like the thing, the wheels that went into motion to ensure that this election wouldn't happen worked almost as perfect as you can
as imagine you can get,
it
really.
To be. Yeah, it was, yeah, I mean, tout the horn of the USA for getting this election right.
Yeah, and you know? Sidney Powell, the ex-lawyer of Trump.
Oh, that tall she-man thing?
Yeah, God from damn. Texas, who was leading the attack on it. She was fired.
For our very tall female listeners.
Yeah,
who kind of look like her.
Pretty much days after, she was too crazy for them, basically. She was too crazy for Giuliani. And they were like, nope, not you.
That's like getting fired from Black Lives Matter for being too black. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah. But she recently claimed that there was voter fraud in Edison County, which doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think Edison County, Texas.
I didn't hear that, really.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. She said there was 14,000.
She made up a county?
She made up a county.
I didn't see that. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah. I'm from Dribble Balls County, Ohio.
There's like three of those.
There's an extra ball.
There's
ridiculous.
One ball.
Hey, you know what? I want to give our podcast some props. You know, we listen to other political podcasts, and some are like successful ones, and some are like small market ones, and some are
however you value success, Dave, whatever.
And some are no market ones. But like, we are on top of current events more than all of them. Yeah. Like, we hit stuff when it happens. If something happens on a Monday, we talk about it on a Tuesday. We don't plan or script these a week in advance and, you know, read from notes too much, you know. Yeah.
You can't tell that.
Right. So this is just honest, pretty much ad-libbed stuff with a little bit of research, and it's current, and it's great.
I also want to say these episodes aren't edited at all.
At all.
I mean, this is us from beginning to start. We don't even take out anything.
This, we are raw dogging the whole thing.
Our listeners are going,
and we don't pull out.
I think
the
I
end.
Found your problem. But I like this type of podcast because we can definitely keep it fluid and not get too rigid with it. Like, we don't have a script, so. Honestly, we were talking about, how do you want to lead into this?
Let's blow each other in the podcast and then talk about some topics.
We're still recording. We're like still I recording. Said, not edited. Not
edited. This will be the first ever edited episode.
The first heavily edited. Oh, fuck.
All right. We got some stories today. We got two major stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not like... They're kind of like ongoing topics. It's kind of like evolutionary topics that are trying to changing the landscape of the judicial branch and the executive branch. And the first topic of today, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court and notably the new role or the changing role of John Roberts as the Chief Justice.
John.
And then after that, we're just going to take a look at some
boring fucking name.
John Roberts.
Like. I'm the dullest person to ever exist. My name is John Roberts. Like, yeah, I guess that.
My best friend is Bob Smith.
He likes to be called Robert.
And he's like, yeah, Mr. Ziegler, this is John Roberts. Let I remind you that I'm the fucking Chief Justice of the United States fucking Supreme Court. Which cancels out my boring ass name.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. So, for those of you that are not astute on the Supreme Court, John Roberts has been the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court since William Rehnquist retired, and he has since passed. And Roberts has been the Chief Justice for a solid 15 years or so now. I forget the exact math on that. I didn't actually have that in front of me, and I guess it's kind of a moot point. But the role of the Supreme Court Chief Justice is to basically assign cases to particular justices to begin the research process, and then hire staffing and, you know, just kind of basically run the Supreme Court. The Chief Justice does not have any power over the associate justices as far as being someone who votes or really controls everything that comes in. So if the Supreme Court has to grant a writ of certiorari on a case, you know, they do it together. So he doesn't, the name Chief Justice is kind of a misnomer. He's more of a chief organizer of the Supreme Court. And it's an important role, but it's more of a logistics behind the scenes role. So he's a co-equal member of the Supreme Court. So he was, God, I can't think of the words. Appointed. There we go. The big A word. He was appointed by George W. Bush. And he is known to be a conservative justice. However, he is known from time to time to side with liberal justices. And if you were to put an absolute litmus test on John Roberts, since he's been on the Supreme Court, and you look at all of his majority opinions and his concurrent opinions and his dissents, you could consider him to be a solid, moderate-leaning right justice.
Okay.
More moderate than, in the last couple of years, than his earlier days on the court.
Oh, he's getting old and liberal.
Old and liberal. But you do see a shift, because when you're, I mean, they're supposed to be apolitical positions, but we all know that's bullshit. Oh, and we all know that presidents appoint Supreme Court justices based upon ideology. So when you are in the mix to be tapped to be on the Supreme Court, you're kind of psychologically in that ideological mix, because after all, you're a human being. And then with experience on the court, it seems to be like that's when you really see the politics, hopefully, if they do take a sidestep to how they vote and how they rule, that's when you see it, when they have a little bit of time in.
Yeah, being a human being, it's almost impossible to rule anything without your own bias coming through. You can't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a part of that that's okay. Yeah. As long as you're looking at precedent and you're looking at the rule of law and you're not like abjectly violating the rights and freedoms of citizens.
You just have to do the best you can. I mean, you have to look at the, like you said, the rule of law and how it applies. And you can't just use it to manipulate how you think. You have to go back on what you said last time and how that applied to that and so on.
Absolutely. So with that being said, John Roberts, since he's been the Chief Justice, Chief Justice since he was confirmed by the Senate, and you usually see that in the Supreme Court, is that a Chief Justice becomes a Chief Justice from the outside. They get nominated as the Chief Justice. Rarely do you see an Associate Justice replace a vacancy to this Chief Justice position. But again, that's a moot point, and I'm going on some boring bullshit right now. Almost as boring as John Roberts' name. So John Roberts has been like considered a swing vote on the Supreme Court for the past 10 years at least, okay? So if there's a 4-4 split, which has pretty much been the case the most of the time since he's been on the Supreme Court, he is typically tipping the scale one way or the other, and usually in deference to the conservative side. However, with the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Rapey Kavanaugh.
Touchy, touchy, too muchy.
Touchy, touchy, too muchy. And Neil Gorsuch, which I just probably fucked up his name, and I don't really know how to make fun of him. So you have those three guys and Amy, and then you also have Clarence Thomas, and you have Samuel Alito, who may very well be the most conservative members on the Supreme Court. We don't really know about Barrett yet, but we've seen Kavanaugh and Gorsuch occasionally so far.
They've kind of gone back and forth a little bit. They're not as conservative, or especially Kavanaugh hasn't been the conservative stalwart that I think people thought he'd be.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to see him vote with the conservative bloc most of the time.
I think they thought he'd be more another Scalia.
Right.
Which he hasn't proven to be, and I think that's why Amy got put on, because she, you know, clerked for him and kind of leans to more of his deciding, so...
Absolutely.
But we'll see. I mean, we don't know yet.
Yeah. So the big thing is, so John Roberts, the biggest decision that's kind of been controversial lately is when Governor Cuomo in New York decided because of COVID to shut down, when he shut down the state, also shutting down religious services, which immediately became a piece of appellate. It's almost like its original jurisdiction because it came to the Supreme Court so fast, but it was actually... and appeals from the federal courts where it was sued that this was a violation of the First Amendment freedom of religion. And that's a very, like, basal, simple, circular argument type of thing. Like, when you, for the sake of public safety, you say, people, you have to stay home. We're going to close businesses and restaurants and churches because people congregate. Congregation. We're not trying to, like, deny people the right to their religion. We're trying to, like, not let them die in church.
Yeah, get sick.
Right.
Because you get sick through contact. It's an airborne virus.
Exactly. Yep. So, to make a long story short, go ahead.
What do people do when they're congregated? Breathe.
Breathe. Yes.
Some more than others.
Some more than others.
Did you see, what's his face?
Let him go to church, by the way. Yeah, this is a great idea.
Oh, the who's the plastic looking pastor, the evangelical pastor, the one in it for all the money?
Pat Robertson?
No.
Jim Baker?
Is it Jim Baker, the one that's really plasticky looking?
Joel Osteen.
Oh. Did you see where he was talking about Biden winning the election and he just goes, ha, 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 and he starts doing that all over the audience? It was gross. You should go look it up. It's terrifying and gross at the same time, and you think, why
is he... He's a piece of shit hypocrite during the hurricane and not letting people in his church and all that kind of stuff. Fuck Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
So the Supreme Court, the new conservative majority, struck down Cuomo's shutdown of religious services, but Roberts, in his dissent, and this is interesting, the way he puts it together, and it makes a lot of sense, but coming from him, I really like how he said it. And he wrote that government officials should not be subject to second-guessing by an unelected federal judiciary, which lacks the background, competence, and expertise to assess public health and is not accountable to the people.
Accountable God.
So
God.
He's deferring to the states in this case. He's saying, hey, we are going to entrust the states with public health. And if they make a decision regarding public health, then so be it. It's not the jurisdiction, it's not even the jurisdictions of the courts. It's not the expertise or knowledge base of the courts to be able to make that decision to override public health officials.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He said, our Constitution principally entrusts the safety and the health of the people to the politically accountable officials of the states to guard and protect. So when you defer to the states in a Supreme Court decision, you are being
Sorry, I fell asleep, man.
Conservative.
Oh, fuck.
Fucking conservative. That is a conservative opinion, but it's a dissent with liberals on the court.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's craziness.
And I remember, like, all these, oh my God, like during COVID, you see all this shit in the news, like churches having drive-in services, virtual services. It's not like churches are getting shut down and we're denying people freedom of religion. We're actually trying to keep these church people alive.
Yeah, and Jesus Christ himself said this. He said, the woman is in service to the man, but the man is in service to the woman, and how may I be in service to you? Don't get me fucking sick.
Yes. Yep.
That's it. That's all you have to do. And, you know, you can. We have the technology. We can do it. You have your own fucking Bible there. You know how this goes. Read it. Still practice your... I don't understand how...
I don't even understand the stretch of saying that as an infringement upon freedom of religion.
Well, in Catholicism, they have to have communion once a week to keep the Sabbath holy. That's part of the religion. And if you don't do that, you're in sin.
You got a box of crackers around, right? The last time I checked, it's fucking fake blood and fake...
No, it's
cracker and
they
whatever.
Believe it's real.
Well, that's a whole nother. Let's just call this episode "They Believe It's Real." Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's that encompasses my entire argument of religion. They believe it's real. You can't argue with that.
Nope.
Yeah, they believe it's real. So fuck it.
And I believe there's a virus.
Yeah. Oh, man. And it seems like a lot of this wacky liberalism of John Roberts is really starting to piss off some of the more conservative justices on the Supreme Court. God, namely, the most Naziistic of them all, seemingly these days, is Samuel Alito. Yeah, he is totally being a dick. And in a recent speech, he said the courts had an important role to play in protecting religious freedom, pandemic or not. So if you listen to that logic, like compared to Roberts' logic, it's illogical.
It is very simple. It's very, nuh-uh.
Right. I mean, you are a Supreme Court justice, and that is your best argument. And that's the argument for the fucking majority.
Yeah.
I believe he wrote the majority opinion. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that he did.
I love your notes here. Alito being a dick.
Yes. Yes. Because he is. And then he was ignoring John Roberts during oral arguments last week when it was Justice Sonia Sotomayor's turn to question a witness.
Really?
He ignored him and kept talking. And like Roberts had to basically tell him to shut the fuck up in a nice Chief Justice-y kind of way. Like, you just don't do that on the court. You defer to the Chief Justice. I mean, yeah, that's embarrassing. He continued to question the witness after he said it was Sonia Sotomayor's turn.
Say that again.
Sonia Sotomayor's turn.
Good job, man. I'm impressed.
Three times?
You're good on two, man.
Okay, very good.
You're like, thank God.
And if you ever have, like, years ago, 60 Minutes interviewed her for a piece, and it was absolutely wonderful.
Really?
Yeah. If you want a cool bio,
check that out.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor is quite the person to check out.
And it's crazy that a Bush appointee named John Roberts is the most liberal conservative on there.
But in a weird way, being conservative, you know? I mean,
yeah.
The essence of conservatism in the courts is the topic of federalism. It's not so much rights and freedoms. It's that idea of national power versus state power. And when you defer to the states, you're by default always being conservative.
Yeah, and it also shows that you don't have to be a fucking raving lunatic to be conservative.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, definitely.
There's actually, you have an actual argument to be conservative, not just,
right,
they're taking our jobs.
It's called principled conservatism. Just, I mean, yeah. And if you go back like 20, 25 years, I remember like when I was really like, you know, studying politics in school and stuff. I mean, the leading conservative thinkers of the time were people like George Will, people like William F. Buckley Jr., people with education and knowledge and background and reflected a real political philosophy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it still exists. Like the National Review magazine is still a pretty well-esteemed conservative journal. Because remember, these ideologies are rooted in actual political philosophy. It's just not these, you know, dank-finangled crazy ideas that we consider to be American conservatism today.
You mean there's philosophies behind them?
There actually is. There actually is. And it's not all crazy.
And that's the thing that's really sad about the American conservative culture right now is that it's not an ideology, it's a cult mentality.
Right, yeah. They're taking these vague principles of what they consider to be conservatism, and they're using it to, like, advance their own agenda, to deny rights of minorities, to stop immigrants from coming into the country, for all the shit that we've talked about.
It's protect themselves, which typically are white, wealthy Protestants.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Who are just desperate to return America back to some nostalgic idea that they
never existed.
That never existed. You're right, yeah. Remember with that back in the 50s when things were simple?
Nope.
No, no. Ask Rosa Parks about the simplicity of the 50s.
Right.
Happy birthday, by the way, Rosa. It would be her birthday today.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I said nope. But yeah, again, I mean, also the 50s were... When people coming back from war, they were scarred. It was a tough time for the men coming back. I mean, you didn't have the treatments that you kind of do now.
Right.
I mean, how many stories do you hear about alcoholic, abusive fathers?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All the time.
Rampant.
I mean, you didn't have... You know? The Andy Griffith TV show was a TV show for a reason, because it was an idyllic escape.
Absolutely.
Which is what TV usually
Yeah,
is.
From getting hit with dad's belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people look fondly like, yeah, I remember my dad used to get the switch out and get that his real leather belt out.
Like, yeah, like, well, that was fucked up. That was horrible parenting.
Not good.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's because he had psychological problems.
Yeah, yeah. He was avoiding talking about his issues, so yeah, he beat the fuck out of you and your mom.
Because he wasn't allowed to.
Right.
He was a man.
And people couldn't get divorced because it was a social stigma attached to it, so women were trapped and, yeah. Fuck the 50s. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm depressed now. Yeah.
But I could wear my saddle shoes and drive my T-Bird and, you know, spin the records and, you know, have my little suburban house and my little lawn. And that was the 50s, Brandon. Come on now.
White picket fence.
White picket fence.
You know, times are simpler back then. No, you set the table for Vietnam. The Korean War.
There's a lot better about our society today than it's ever been. For a lot of
true.
People.
I mean, one of the things is the violent crime rate in America is at an all-time low.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. It really is.
They really don't know why either.
Yeah, I heard that too. Like, since the pandemic, they see this lowering of the overall crime rate, but they don't have any research yet to really explore why.
Well, not just the pandemic, but like since the 80s.
Oh, really? It's long-term. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Decades long.
Yeah.
There have been theories that taking lead out of gasoline.
Yes. Yes.
If you listen to Giuliani, it was because he cracked down on crime.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But like that also goes like, you know, the serial killers kind of went away after they took lead out of gasoline.
Yes. That could also be attributed to police talking to each other more and actually realizing that serial killers are a thing. Because before, that wasn't something they thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the police can actually go, hey, buddy, we had this killing that seems similar to your killing. Can we talk about it? Instead of like them not really knowing, because media spreads a lot more nowadays. Also, police are just getting better at their jobs.
Right. Policing in general is getting better. Technology.
Detective.
Communication between departments. And yeah.
Let me rephrase that.
For those of you new to FDR's wheelchair, we occasionally from time to time get off topic. And now we're talking about serial killers, because there's no podcast out there at all about serial killers. That is
never heard one in my life. Where are we? Okay, we're John Roberts. We're about to wrap that up.
Yes.
Okay. So you have the Chief Justice, who was typically conservative, now kind of leaning with not his ideology, but his reasonings towards what would be considered a liberal viewpoint, but it's not. It's just kind of reining in.
And I think part of what he's doing, too, is starting to think about what his legacy is, what the Roberts Court was and what it stood for, and what his, you know, how he modified and changed the court. And I think to bring the court back to a sense of normal says a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Or try to rein in ideology a little bit.
I disagree with you on normal, because I don't see the Supreme Court having a normalcy to it. I see the Supreme Court of being based in rational argument. And
yes.
I think that's what he's trying to bring it back
like
to.
Almost like Socratic type of argument, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the way, like, you know, when you when you listen to the Supreme Court arguments and you know, attorneys testifying, it is like the Socratic method being used. Yeah. You know, that's how they get through this. This is, I mean, that's old-fashioned jurisprudence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a crazy question I have for you.
Okay.
So we believe, obviously, that progressive beliefs and values are superior to antiquated conservative values, which is why we support who we support, and that's why we tout people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the other, I think, all-female associate justices. That are there any male liberal justices left on the Supreme Court? I would say no. No.
No.
No, not at all. So those three that I just mentioned that I hold in extremely high regard also vote for the liberal side of arguments almost 100% of the time.
Okay.
Are they just like a Clarence Thomas or a Samuel Alito in that regard? Or is it because of the superiority of their belief system that it's more justified? Does that question make sense?
Yeah. So you're saying, do they form the same ideological trap or
yes,
mentality that can't go outside its little bubble?
Correct.
We've discussed this before, early on in FDR's
right, trap. Right, right.
And yes, absolutely, it can become part of that trap. You get into that echo chamber,
mm-hmm.
and you're also kind of hearing the same thing reinforces your own beliefs if you hear only your arguments.
Right.
However, you don't get arguments like, who had dissented in earlier cases? Had courts had an important role to play in protecting religious freedom, pandemic or no? I mean, that's right. Just a dumb argument.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Anybody can make that argument.
I can respect Roberts' argument
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, yeah, maybe. But that kind of argument, and I think that's the difference.
Okay.
Is
like, what's his law clerk doing, if that's the best he could come up with? What are the clerks doing?
I don't know, showing him his tits or something? I guess, you know.
Right. I mean, this is like sophomoric amateur shit that he's saying.
It really is. It's like a freshman in college being drunk at the philosophy class and getting called on and just like saying shit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Religious freedom, I don't give a damn about the pandemic. I fucking did a kickstand last night and I didn't get no COVID. I'm free to do that.
Are we talking about Kavanaugh now?
Damn it, Kavanaugh, we talked about this.
She said yes first. But then she said no, Brady.
She couldn't say no with my hand over her mouth.
Oh, man. Oh, God, creeps me out, man.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But yeah, I mean, there's definitely an issue to be concerned about there of falling into the same traps. But I think as long as the arguments are valid, like, I'm not even mad at Roberts for saying what he did. I'm just glad he could explain it to you.
Absolutely.
And like we said last week about the confirmation bias,
mm-hmm.
the best way to get around it is to actually explain the argument to somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he did right there. Yeah. So it's like, okay.
And that's what creates discourse, and that's what we're missing, not just at the Supreme Court, but that's what we're missing in our country, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, the dogs are here. Yay.
There's Leo.
Yeah, I'm glad. Good old Leo. He's,
I was getting nervous.
He's a guarantee for each thing. Yeah. All right, so listeners, are you sick of hearing us talk about the Supreme Court right
now? Fuck yeah.
Oh, God. Fuck yeah. I had to wake Brandon up three times. You know?
Oh, before we go to our next topic,
yeah,
can we bring in something that'll wake him up again?
Absolutely.
Drugs.
Drugs.
Yep. We got it back. And I just wanted to follow up from last time. So remember when I said I couldn't remember what the term was for the chemical in magic mushrooms and peyote and
mushrooms? Yeah.
It's psilocybin.
Mm.
In Oregon, who legalized drugs last week, is now putting together a treatment for mental health
using psilocybin. When I said legalized last week, you went, excuse me, it's decriminalization. Technically, it's decriminalization. God, you've
been talking about the Supreme Court too long. Sorry, decriminalization. So they're actually working with Johns Hopkins University to get a framework going that can bring these drugs in to actually help people.
And this is when you were talking about the microdosing piece?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So wake up, people. We talked about drugs again.
Yeah. And it's going to be published in JAMA. Holy crap. So that's like, that's the like leading medical and psychiatric journal.
This is serious.
In the fucking world. Yeah. Johns Hopkins. Psh, psh.
Yeah. So cool. So yeah. Now that we're awake.
Wait, it's Johns Hopkins who still comes out with the fake information about the virus?
In collaboration with the CDC.
Oh, yeah. The government.
Mm-hmm.
Paying the hospitals for the COVID cases. Yeah, yep. We get it.
Yep. All right. Now that we've offended half of you, let's... All six of you. All right. What are we talking about next, Dave?
Man. So, Biden has a big job, and that is to fill the executive branch and his cabinet, well, that is the executive branch, but all the different offices, the communication staff, everything that goes into being the president of the United States, okay. It is the expectation that it should be a very diverse group of people, okay? But at the same time, Biden's going to get attacked from the left and the right if he doesn't toe the line on certain individuals, okay? So what I would like to do, if that's okay with you, Brandon, is just to talk about some of these individuals and some of the groundbreaking appointments that he's making, and we'll see what the Senate does with them. I think most of them are pretty, even though it's a very diverse group of people, they're pretty safe picks for the most part, like John Kerry as the climate envoy, Mr. Excitement.
John Kerry himself,
yeah.
Yep.
But I'd like to start, you know, speaking of diversity and having our first female vice president of all time, he is going to select Janet Yellen as the very first female Secretary of the Treasury. So that's going to be a very...
She's a former professor at University of California, Berkeley. She served as a chair of Council of Economic Advisors under President Bill Clinton and later as chair of the Federal Reserve.
So, whoa. What's it? Cool. She's qualified?
Qualified.
Okay, so.
And she's not from a fucking financial firm.
She's not from a corporation. She's qualified, so. Let me guess. Yellen is her married name. Her real last name is Biden, right? She's got to be related to Joe Biden, right?
Marks.
Oh, Marks! No! So you're okay. So I'm just trying to process the idea of having a cabinet position being filled. Any fucking cabinet position. I don't give a shit. The Secretary of Treasury, great money, qualified, experienced, and isn't related to the president.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
And very well known. Yeah.
It looks like she will, professor at the University of California, Berkeley. She's going to be burning that bra at the Federal Reserve.
Oh, it's already burned, man.
And so she served, like you said, under Clinton, under Obama. So she's, this is a good pick. She will be confirmed by the Senate because she is very well respected.
Was it Susan Collins that said she would respect all nominations as long as they were kind of mainstream?
Yeah.
Nothing too.
Absolutely.
Which is fine.
Yeah. One of the more controversial ones is Neera Tanden. She's going to be the director of the OMB, and she might have trouble getting confirmed by the Senate. A lot of this has to do with the Georgia runoff elections because this won't happen until he becomes the president. And basically, the conservatives don't like her because, she's been pretty outspoken on her liberal points of view. She is the president and CEO of the Center for American Progress, which is probably the leading liberal think tank. So, she's a lefty, you know?
Yeah, and she goes on TV and she's very involved in social media. So her message is definitely out there.
Absolutely. And the Republicans will not accept somebody who just randomly tweets a bunch of ideological Oh, wait, hold on a second.
God, yeah.
They're two. Wait, they're not going to be two-faced on this, are they?
No. Not their current Republican.
Too ideological, and she's on social media too much. Yeah, yeah. Not good enough for OMB, but perfect to be the fucking president.
Right.
Now, you get the Robin Hood.
I heard this name, and I cracked up. So... Biden's pick for Secretary of State is Anthony Blinken. And all you Mel Brooks fans out there,
yes,
I'm sure you're laughing too. Because if you ever watched Robin Hood Men in Tights, Blinken is the blind guy that Robin Hood rescues from his family home. And when we first meet Blinken, he's reading a play touch. With the braille boobs.
That's awesome. So under the Trump administration, that guy would be the Secretary of State in the second term. But this Blinken will be our new Secretary of State that will actually help forge positive relationships with other representative democracies around the world, as opposed to forging good relationships with dictators and autocrats around the world.
He actually started his career under the State Department under the Clinton administration, so he kind of knows what he's doing.
And he's only 58 years old, so he was like a young gun in the Clinton administration.
Yeah, and I was he Assistant Secretary of State under the Obama administration?
I think he was in Obama's administration in some way. I'm just not sure exactly. Yeah,
trying to read these notes real quick.
No, we have all this memorized.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Deputy National Security Advisor.
Deputy. Okay, yeah. Not assistant. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
National Security. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I was somewhere in there. Who do you want to talk about next?
So there's a bunch of, Chief of Staff.
Yeah.
Ron Klain. And if you haven't seen him in interviews the last couple of weeks on shows like Meet the Press or Rachel Maddow, man, this is probably the person that you want to run the show in the White House. I mean, he is extraordinarily qualified in this position. He served under Clinton. He has served under President Obama. He has... he was the Ebola czar under President Obama. He's done a lot. He's extremely organized. He's well-regarded. I mean, I don't know what else to say about him.
And I just want to take a moment to describe what the Chief of Staff does.
Yes.
So imagine you have a big CEO kind of guy running a company, running... Mm-hmm. The country's not a company, but imagine someone in a very powerful role, the president. Mm-hmm. And then you have his personal assistant, secretary, just fixer, doer, everything.
Rolled
up into a burrito.
Yeah.
Okay. That is the Chief of Staff. He controls the message that comes out of the White House. He controls the press secretary.
He controls who sees the president every single minute of the day.
Yeah, they walk into his office before they go to the president, unless you're like Mitch McConnell or something like that. Even Mitch McConnell would probably talk to the Chief of Staff before he would talk to the president.
Everybody does, because the president's on a very tight schedule.
Yeah.
Normal presidents in normal times are on a very tight schedule.
Well,
they're not golfing.
Got your executive time.
No, yeah, that's right. Your executive time.
It takes up hours of your day.
6 a.m. and 2 p.m. to watch the news and take a shit.
So it's very important. Person in the White House and to the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be a personal confidant of the president. You have to have a very close relationship. It has to go beyond professional. It has to be personal, too. I mean,
it does.
You have to have someone you really, really trust in this position.
It's who the president's wife hates.
Absolutely. Yes. There will be no fucking. Yeah. Well, there won't be anyway, because he's like 1,000 Bidens now. Ooh, Biden.
And if you are... Rob Klain will be in the corner.
Exactly. Like, 2 minutes left? Dude, I'd be a great president. My chief of staff would be like, you've got a minute. I'd be like, finished.
Nailed it. What else you got for me?
Oh, that's great. So Another thing that I read today, or was it yesterday, is that both Biden and Harris's entire communications staff is 100% female. Everybody from senior position roles all the way down the chain. And I guess Trump's press secretary, Kelly McDumbitch, she actually said, no, we actually have we have all the first, you know,
which is
actually wrong.
Completely wrong.
They have, there's several females in the communications department, but they are not in the same positions that Biden's selections are in, basically.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is literally an all-female communication staff, which is good because men can't communicate worth a shit. So,
me not like him, bum it. But yeah, it's a first, and whatever she's claiming is just a total farce, which is pretty much her career.
Lying, trying to steal the attention, trying to say that we did it first. I mean, it's the same tactics. It's the same old message. And the good thing is, people are, like, not listening really anymore.
No, they haven't for a long time. Yeah.
Like, you get to a point where, okay, he lost the election. Now we're only a month and a half away. The wheels are really starting to spin on what the Biden administration is going to be like. And, you know, we're just starting to ignore the chaos.
You know, it's pretty sad when your job role is literally a children's story of the boy who cried wolf.
Literally. As close as you
possibly. Story.
Yep.
Or fable or whatever.
Motherfucking stupid. Whatever. Fable. It's a fable story.
Fable story. Yeah.
It's got a moral to it or something. Don't be an asshole.
Moral warning.
Yeah, for right,
children.
Right.
For fucking children.
Yeah, for children. Don't be a douchebag. Don't cry wolf when the shit ain't there. Yeah. Try to apply that to your real life.
Yeah.
When you're president someday. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we're at. But
so so the good news is that this is turning out to be a very like diverse in terms of race, in terms of gender, heavy on qualifications, heavy on experience. I mean, most of these picks are going back to the Clinton administration, and that I mean.
But Dave,
what
isn't this part of the swamp?
Oh yeah. Pull the plug. Drain it.
Oh, there goes Donald Trump Jr. There's Ivanka.
Can you imagine the change in morale on day one in the State Department?
Oh, my God. Well, they should be listened to and actually can do their job.
I the parties in the embassies are going to be phenomenal.
So,
like, I mean, it's just completely going to start slowly bringing back, you know, the State Department.
There's probably going to be a lot of psilocybin for the PTSD.
Yes. And there will be no microdosing. We'll be just eating total shrooms.
Got to make up for some time.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a very different way of handling the government.
Yes.
With this, I mean, with Donald Trump, it was just nepotism and it was just who he owed favors to or who he could control. But with this, we're actually getting qualifications and people that can do the job or know the job. And I heard, I was listening to NPR the other day, and one description was these people are going to be entrenched in their positions. And they didn't mean that is that they're going to go there and do a shitty job and be a bureaucrat that does nothing and but can't be fired. No, they're going to entrench in their positions and make that job great again. Ha!
Right. And get rebuilding staff. Yep. Rebuild it. Yeah, I mean, literally rebuilding the State Department, rebuilding people who know how to negotiate.
Who can calm people down. Who can just be like, hey, well, I know we did this, but it's not for you. Just take it easy. You got my word. We go back, man.
Right. The State Department has been reduced to a shell of itself during this administration more than any other department.
Which doesn't hurt just the world, it hurts us too.
Absolutely. Yeah. It destroys our foreign policy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that I said this a couple episodes ago, the worst thing is unpredictability in foreign policy. Unless, I mean, you're trying to surprise somebody, but that's a whole tactic.
The whole idea is stability. World fucking stability.
Yep.
Instability breeds chaos and terrorism and autocratic societies and all that shit we don't want.
Exactly.
So let's bring back some normal.
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 Yep.
Man. That's been a lot of content today.
But it has been a lot of content. Yes. I hope you're still with us.
And for those of you that didn't believe that we were not edited and we don't do a lot of research and we kind of, well, I think you learned a good lesson today that we're not lying to you.
We're not lying. Willfully. We're not.
We're not willfully lying to you. All right. So, man, we are getting close to an hour, aren't we?
We're getting there.
And you have a few more things to talk to.
Oh, I still wanted to bring up something about a controversial Biden pick for cabinet.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yes. Yeah, oh, my God. I'm glad we didn't forget about that. So tell me all about it.
Because
I don't know about it.
Garcetti, who is the mayor of L.A.,
mm-hmm.
is being tipped as one of part of Biden's cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Black Lives Matter have been protesting outside his house for the past couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say he doesn't focus on things that matter to black people or target black people. Mm-hmm. So, buses, he's been cutting down on buses, public transport, mm-hmm. Helping communities, especially minority communities. So they don't see if he's doing such a bad job in L.A., he doesn't deserve a federal position because he's fucking up being mayor of L.A. Mm-hmm. How could he be tipped for a federal position?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was pretty important because Black Lives Matter have been criticized for protesting conservative values. Now mm-hmm. Here they are,
and that kind of like is it's something to manage too because okay you have a group like Black Lives Matter that is extraordinarily important in reshaping our social policy and where we need to go moving forward. As a country, I mean, Black Lives Matter is very, very, very important. At the same time, they might be right on this. I don't know. But they're also fallible. Everybody's fallible. Any group's fallible. So the Democratic Party and the Biden administration should listen to them. They should take them seriously. They definitely need a Black Lives Matter organization, needs a big seat at the table. But at the same time, if they're wrong on something, we shouldn't. Like the administration shouldn't be necessarily kowtowing to a group per se. You know what I mean?
Oh, correct. I mean, you know, the whole reason of protesting is to bring up issues, not necessarily to dictate.
Absolutely. But what I like about this is that Black Lives Matter movement is, you know, they're just not coming out and pounding their fist on the table saying, hell no. They're given reasons. And those reasons are worth looking into. Now, I don't know anything about it. I have no level of knowledge about what's going on in Los Angeles with these things, but we need to listen to them. And if it's true, if some of this is true, then maybe Joe Biden needs to give a second thought to it.
Yeah. And that's fine.
That's America.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to be like, you explained it to me. Now I can rethink it.
Ah, explaining. How about that? Yeah, what so a we've unique concept. We've got a concept. Theme going. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because I almost forgot
about
that. I
almost forgot about that, too.
Yeah. Is he going to be – what cabinet position is he
talking They didn't actually specify. Yeah. They just – he was part of the campaign,
mm-hmm.
So he even kind of touted for a position. They haven't really said what.
Very cool. And I did hear, too – I haven't read much more about it. I might have mentioned it last week, but I think he's tapping a Native American for Secretary of the Interior.
Yeah.
That's pretty radical, man. That's cool.
That's – very radical.
Yeah, but it should.
It shouldn't be.
There should be a constitutional amendment that every Secretary of the Interior must be an American Indian. For real.
Yeah. That should be an amendment.
Yeah, that was ours, and that was ours.
Yeah, you fucked this
you
up.
Carved girls. Some white guys into that. That was ours. And
you keep burning a lot of shit.
We're burning that shit down. And stop raping my cousin. Stop raping my cousin. That was my cousin. You know, God damn it. Yeah. Every Secretary of the Interior needs to be a Native American.
Yep.
I said it. Let's start the amendment process.
We should. But yeah, I think it's a lofty choice. And it really says something that he's reaching out to mm-hmm. these communities that have for years, decades, centuries.
Marginalized isn't even the word.
It's not even
the word. Like raped and pillaged. Literally.
Yeah. I think marginalized is a euphemism in this aspect.
Yeah. Marginalize them when you're like, yeah, just go sit over there. Yeah. That's marginalization.
But this has been, oh, you're complaining that we killed half your family and now we're raping it and taking your land? Well, why don't you just fuck off into this no man's land?
Right,
and
right.
Shut the fuck up.
Right.
Yeah? Okay, cool. I mean, that's what's happened.
Right.
And there's a case going right now. I can't remember the tribe. I want to say, begins with an S, but they're in New York, right next to the Hamptons.
Okay.
And back in the day, they signed a 1,000-year contract that the U.S. could lease their land.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what became the Hamptons. They put a sign up saying, after you leave the Hamptons, you're going into this tribe's land.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big to-do about it. And the Indian or the Native Americans there said, fuck off, we're keeping it. And they just kind of went, it's kind of bothering some of our people here. And they go, no, fuck off. This is it. And the mayor there is like, it's very out of character for them. And they're just going, you fuck off now.
Where right.
So it's more and more things like that are starting to come to head. And now they at least have some sort of voice in a cabinet. So she can make a difference or not.
You got to start somewhere.
At least there's a seat at the table.
Absolutely. Where you can start. It starts. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Yep. So, and I apologize for almost saying Indians. I do.
You'd have to say American Indians.
American Indians, yep.
Yes.
So I do apologize for that.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready to hear what Donald J. Trump did this week?
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't a complete fucking disaster, or golfing, or not claiming voter fraud.
Okay.
So I was kind of shocked when I saw this.
Yeah?
And I'm going to read the headline to you, and this isn't on The Onion. This is actually real.
Wait, before you read it, it's like, it gets so hard to, like, read stuff that's not on The Onion, and you go, is that on The Onion? Like,
and there's really no hidden story. This is a good thing. Trump administration rejects massive Alaska mining project. The administration actually told a company that they cannot mine in Alaska. So,
really?
Yes. So why? The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied a permit for the Pebble Mine in Alaska on Wednesday, effectively killing plans to build the massive copper and gold project that opponents had warned could wipe out the world's largest sockeye salmon fishery. The decision from the Trump administration, which had reversed course several times on the issue, comes just weeks before Biden takes office, and Biden has also opposed the project. All right? So basically, the Army Corps of Engineers is saying that this company is not complying with the clean water and air standards, and the company is saying that they are doing the appropriate measures to be in compliance with it. So I think what Trump is really doing right now is he's just following suit with the Army Corps of Engineers. And then there's also some strange, and I don't know the background to it, because obviously mining's a big industry, but so is the salmon industry.
Love sockeye salmon.
So, and industry is industry. And Trump is probably being tugged back and forth by proponents of
both lobbies.
Yeah. Both lobbies, very good. And there's some interesting people.
Did you just very good me?
Did I just very good you?
You very good me.
Very well done, Brandon.
Good gold star now.
So he was like kind of motivated. Like so the biggest, one of the main interest groups, one of the main businesses that tried to lobby President Trump to go against this mining project was Bass Pro Shops. So like Bass Pro Shops, like if Trump like decided to diss Bass Pro Shops, then that would piss off the constituency to Bass Pro Shops, and they would have
a lot of his base.
Tucker Carlson is opposed to the project because he has a hard on for natural resources all of a sudden.
Apparently,
for some reason.
Yeah.
And then who else? Somebody else was against it. And Donald Trump Jr. for some reason is against it. So as I was looking at this, I didn't have time to research it into a lot of detail. I want to read more into this and really look at the root reason why the Trump administration is opposed to it. Like, there's got to be something odd going on.
Yeah.
When your lobby is your son, a fucking whack job on Fox News, a store that sells fishing poles.
Well, Bass Pro Shops, that's a, it's, you know, a big part of the base, you know, that rural kind of
yeah.
activities.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure a lot of people would back, especially with his base, would back something like a Bass Pro Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of makes sense, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, they also back the drill, baby drill, kind of.
Yeah. Not like we're trying to make sense out of these people and their decision making. Right. You know? But the good news is that he's unlikely to reverse course anymore in his administration. Biden, of course, is opposed to it. So it looks like this mining project is not going to take place. And that's a good thing
yeah.
of what Donald J. Trump did this week.
Damn.
It took a whole fucking hour to find anything. Did Donald Trump News and Politico. I had to go through like 6 pages, and everything was about voter fraud and golfing. Everything.
Yeah.
And with all the shit going on in the world right now, goddammit, everything fucking going on in this country, and I can't find anything he's done real as president until I get to page 6 on Politico.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous, man.
That's not an Onion article.
My God, I'm getting so fucking pissed off right now. Do you have the shot, Brandon? I need the shot tonight.
I got it. I got it.
Give it to me, man.
Okay.
Give it to me.
You ready?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Just hold on. It only hurts a little bit. Trust me.
Ah!
Yeah, fuck you. It hurts a lot. Oh. Yeah, but it feel better, huh?
Yeah. Nah, dude, man. No, I'm still pretty agitated. I'm so fucking pissed
let
off.
Let it kick in. Let it kick in. Okay.
Oh, man.
You back with me, buddy?
Yeah, we're talking about
don't worry. We're talking Easter about drugs again.
The Easter Bunny.
Yeah,
the Easter Bunny. Yeah, he's a nice guy, right?
He's pretty cool. Yeah.
Is he gonna fly with Santa Claus this Christmas?
They're gonna hold hands while they do it, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm kind of tired. Can we kind of maybe wrap the podcast?
Absolutely.
Up?
We're gonna wrap this up.
All right.
We're just gonna tell our listeners that reach out to us on Twitter at FDR_wheelchair. If you want to email us, it's fdrswheelchairpodcast@gmail.com, and we're on Facebook at fdrswheelchair. And again, we'd love to hear from you. Dave's going to take a little nap now. Hope you enjoyed the episode.
Goodbye, everybody.
And this has been
a legacy of FDR in his wheelchair.